How the Census Shapes the Economy. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Today, the Census Bureau is coming out with the first local-level results from the 2020 Census. These numbers will shape future congressional districts and have major political implications, obviously. But as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports, they will also have a significant economic impact.
The census is releasing population data on a block-by-block level, including information on race, ethnicity, age, and how many people live in neighborhoods. And says Beth Jerez at the Population Reference Bureau.
These data matter for the economy because they are used for everything.
For example, businesses will look at the data to make decisions about where to put stores and what to carry in them.
You have an older population or more young people in your neighborhood, and that might change what your business model is, what you're going to sell or how you're going to run your operations.
On the state and federal side of things, says Andrew Reamer at the George Washington Institute of Public Policy, these data
are going to be used by governments, too, to determine where to put schools, whether to widen the highway or not, and very importantly, to figure out how to allocate money geographically.
Of course, the fight over redistricting and the political money going into it creates an economy all its own. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The trillion-dollar infrastructure bill we've been reporting on cleared a big hurdle this week, passing the Senate. If it is fully approved, it would throw billions of dollars towards electric vehicles. One group in Congress wants as much as $160 billion to go to incentives for consumers, manufacturers, and funding to build charging stations. But there is an unresolved question around these stations, and that is who should be responsible for installing and maintaining them. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more.
In addition to charging their cars at home, future EV owners are going to want to do that on long treks too, says Carnegie Mellon professor Jeremy Mahalik.
If I go to rent a cabin up in a rural area, I want to make sure I can charge my car there too.
Industry groups like the National Association of Convenience Stores have been lobbying Congress. They want to remain a necessity for road trips of the future, says the group's general counsel, Doug Cantor.
You plug into a high-speed charger, you go inside to use the restroom and grab a drink, and pretty quickly you're on your way.
He says competition in the private market could keep prices lower, but public utility-run chargers could offer better access, says Mahalik.
Think about USPS, the Postal Service. It's not profitable to deliver mail to a lot of these rural areas, but we do it because we want mail to be something you can rely on anywhere.
Mahalik says early adopter EV drivers are understanding about the limited infrastructure now, but the mainstream public will be less tolerant. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
California took another step towards decarbonizing the economy. Regulators there voted to require builders to include solar power and battery storage in a lot of new commercial buildings and high-rise apartment buildings. Also, new homes would have to be wired to make it easier to switch heaters from natural gas to electric power. Rules aren't final, but when they have made it this far, they usually end up going through. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down less than a tenth of a percent. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the tenth percent range, with the Dow future up 41 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.347%. And we have also got budget deficit numbers in for July. The U.S. government spent $302 billion more than it took in that month, a record for July. COVID relief spending was still high. Money coming in was about normal. So far, the federal deficit for the first 10 months of fiscal 2021 is down 10% from last year, which leaves it at a mere $2.5 trillion.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 1989 movie Field of Dreams, a farmer named Ray builds a baseball diamond in a cornfield in eastern Iowa, and it attracts magical visits from famous players like Shoeless Joe Jackson, star of the Chicago White Sox from more than a century ago. Tonight, Major League Baseball is recreating the movie. In a way, the White Sox and Yankees will play on the site where the movie was filmed. As Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports, baseball is counting on some movie magic to help it overcome declining attendance and low television ratings.
The movie Field of Dreams is basically a celebration of baseball. The character played by James Earl Jones really brings that message home.
It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again.
Major League Baseball is hoping this game reminds people of that, because baseball is no longer America's favorite team sport. Attendance at games hit a high in 2007 and has been declining ever since. Tonight's game is designed to tap into nostalgia with old-style uniforms and a manual scoreboard. It'll also reference the movie.
We have a pathway for the players out in right field for them to kind of enter the field through the corn.
Chris Marinac is Chief Operations and Strategy Officer for Major League Baseball. He said this game is meant to stand out from the other 161 the teams will play in a season.
This isn't just your everyday, you know, baseball game. It's something much more than that.
It needs to stand out because with streaming and social media, baseball has a lot of competition. And its core audience?
Oh, it's old. It's like me.
Andrew Zimbalist is 73. He studies sports economics at Smith College. And he's right. Older people do like baseball. Young kids do as well. But people who are 18 to 45, the most coveted audience, they don't watch as much. If baseball tried to create an event that specifically targeted them, Zimbalist says,
it might look rather awkward and contrived. Instead, they're hoping to make this a must-see event for older people.
In the hopes that they convince their children and grandchildren to watch as well. But Nola Aga, a professor of sports management at the University of San Francisco, isn't sure it's going to work.
Is it going to be cool and great? And are the decision makers who decide to do it, are they going to be thrilled? And is it going to, you know, give them all those cool tinglies from when they were kids? Sure. I'm just not sure it's long-term going to do anything for the game of baseball.
It's an expensive gamble for Major League Baseball, which spent $5 million constructing the field. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.